Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Beginnings, the book of Genesis and chapter number 4. The book of Genesis and chapter number 4. We're in a series dealing with the power of Jesus' name, the power of God's name. And we understand that the study of God's name is a study of the attributes of God, that God has chosen to reveal himself through primarily his word, but he has also chosen to reveal himself through his names. So that each one of God's names has a special characteristic or attribute that is that tells us more about who God is. Also throughout the Bible, we find the various ways that we could use God's name. And in the middle of this series, we still have about 20 or so more of these names to go, or how to use God's names. We're trying to find out how the Bible places an emphasis of putting our dependence upon God. And that's what calling upon God's name and using God's names are reminding us of the various ways to put our dependence and trust upon God. In the book of Beginnings, the book of Genesis, all the way at the very beginning, we find a way that some people were able to use God's name. And we find it in the book of Genesis chapter 4. The book of Genesis chapter 4, and if you don't mind, let's just quickly just look at verse number 26. And then we're going to cover two chapters of context. But the book of Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And with this, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a verse that we find in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, where it says, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. With that in mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace so that you would give us mercy. As we come to you, help us to understand this passage and understand this principle of calling upon your name. We're asking that you would arrest the attention of everyone that's in here. Help it to be communicated in such a way that everyone here can get something and that they can understand it, that we could see this principle and learn more about you and throw our dependence upon you. In your precious name we pray, amen. As we go to the book of Genesis, there are a couple of ground things that we probably need to go over just to make sure we're on the same page. That we want to let you know that the book of Genesis is a book of history. The book of Genesis is a book of history. So pay attention. Genesis is a book of history. This isn't a mythology. It isn't a storybook. It isn't a figurative language. But this is a book of history. And because of that, the names that are listed here are going to be real names and people who are going to be very important to history. Also, for context's sake, we understand that God created man in his own image. God created man, and he created woman by the name of Adam and Eve, and they were perfect. However, God set them inside of a perfect world, perfect conditions, with only one rule, and said, the only thing I'm asking you not to do is not to take this tree. Out of all the other trees you could have, but this one here, it's mine. And for a while, it worked well until the serpent tempted Eve, and he tempted Eve by saying God was not good, God was holding back on them, and he caused them to doubt God's word. By the way, whenever we start doubting God's word, because the whole purpose of the Bible is to reveal God to man, whenever we doubt his word, we begin to doubt God. That's why it's so important to be secure and to know and believe and trust God's word. If we trust God's word, we will trust God. If you don't trust God, it's because you don't believe his word. Those two are linked together. And because she doubted God's word, she began to doubt that God was good, that God was being unfair, that God was holding something good for her out of her life, and she wanted something that was not hers. So she took and ate and then gave it to Adam, and both of them sinned against God, and it changed everything. God lined them up, the man, the woman, and the serpent. The man blamed God. God, it's the woman you gave me. It wasn't for that woman, I wouldn't be in this mess. He went to Eve, and Eve says, it was the serpent who lied to me. He beguiled me. God went to the serpent and said, all right, now we've got an issue. He says, I'm going to make a promise that I'm going to let the seed of the woman, some descendant of the seed of the woman, is going to crush your head, going to destroy you. Now, we know that this is a prophetic event talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but Adam and Eve didn't have all the information. They didn't have a book of the Bible. They didn't have anything else. They just had a promise of God that there was going to be a seed, a descendant from Eve, who was going to have, who was going to crush the tempter. And so, one day it was announced. Guess what you're going to have, Eve, in 9 months? The first time it's ever been announced you're going to have a baby? Congratulations. Can you imagine what it would be like to have no one to give you any advice about the baby? No one to explain to you morning sickness. No one to explain to you the baby kicked. What just happened? Is this normal? No one there to explain the birthing process. There was no Lamaze class. There was no maid to help out. There was no hospital, no ER, no epidurals. It was, hey, what's this is feeling weird. I mean, can you imagine playing that in your mind? Honey, I think something's wrong. So, oh, it hurts. What's going on? And then the actual thing, if you've never been there for young people, let me tell you, it's a messy business. Then you get this baby, and then he's got like a connected line. Who thought of the idea, I got to cut this off? I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here, a lot of firsts. No one's told him what to do before. I mean, now what do I do with this other stuff? I mean, you're like, I didn't know this was a birthing class. There's so many things that go along. No one was taught this. But when the baby boy was born, they helped this baby. And there was hope. Maybe this is the seed. God promised that there was going to be a descendant from us that was going to crush his head. Maybe this is the boy. And if you don't mind, the first thing I'd like to go through here is the lineage of Cain, the line of Cain. So we know that Cain was born. Notice with me, if you don't mind, chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. This idea, I've gotten a man from the Lord, carries with it the idea that there was hope. I've gotten him. He's the promised. He's the promised one. He's the one that's yet to come. But you know, it didn't quite work that way. Because by the time she had the second child, verse number 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, the word Abel means vanity or breath, carrying the idea, well, this kid that I first had was not what I hoped. He's not turning out to be the promised child that I wanted. He's not going to be the savior of anything. He's got issues. And so there's a little bit of a disappointment. We know that as time went on, God had set up an idea of worshiping him. And now as it came time to worship, you have the story of Cain and Abel. And the story of Cain and Abel isn't after the after effects. It's not, that's the, not the main purpose. It's how they decided to worship God. Abel worshiped God the way God wanted him to worship. Cain did it the way he wanted to. Now, let me tie this in. Cain did his best. Cain tried to do it to honor God. He had the right motives. His problem is he did not do it God's way. He thought he had a better way. He said, I know that God said that an animal has to die, but I think that's kind of gross. I mean, these are great animals. Animals are lives too. So what I'm going to do is let's give God some beautiful plants. Let's put together this beautiful arrangement to God. You know, with plants, you can make it look pretty. You could put flowers and garnish. You could put all this other stuff here. I mean, but for an animal to die, it's icky. There's blood. It's nasty. I mean, it's not aesthetically pleasing. It's gross. I don't want to do that. I want to offer something, God, pretty and beautiful. The problem was, is it wasn't the way God wanted to. And so Cain is going to lead the way into this thinking. I can do it myself. Cain led the way, and his lineage that we're going to cover carries the idea, I can do it myself. By the way, man could get lots of things accomplished by his own will. We're going to see that here. Man could do a lot of things by himself, but it can never get him closer to God, and it can never be pleasing to God. That's the whole problem with the lineage of Cain. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. Now, when God did not accept Cain's offering, he did not try to get right with God. He blamed the brother. God likes him better than me. No, he was obedient. You were not. God should accept my worship. I'm not going to change. God should change. He did not. And so he grew so upset, he decided to kill the person who was pleasing to God, so that way he could force his way to be right. If I'm the only one here, God has to accept whatever I give to him because there's no choice. And he killed his brother just because God told him no. Imagine that. Children, we got plenty of kids here. You ever get upset because God told you or someone told you no? Cain grew really mad and upset because someone in authority told him no. But he said, I could do it myself. I can do whatever I want. I'm my own man. My parents shouldn't give me a bedtime. I could do whatever I want. I shouldn't have to go to church. I could do whatever I want. I don't have to read my Bible. I could do whatever I want. You may think that, but those things aren't true. We must do things God's way. Man could do things on his own, but it will never get him closer to God, and he will never be pleasing to God. So Cain killed his brother, and he knew he was in trouble. So he said, God, please don't kill me. And so God sent him away. And he got married, found a wife, got married. You said, where did he get his wife? Well, we'll address that. The Bible says that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. If you lived 600 years, how many kids could you have? So he just married his sister. You're like, ew. Well, there was no one to report it to, and it wasn't against the law, and there was no genetic issues at that time. He married his sister. And so they go off. But once again, he has the mindset, I can do whatever I want. I can live my life however I want. And he's going to teach his kids that same idea. You don't have to listen to anyone, kids. You can be your own man. You live out your dreams. You do your best. Live however you want, and many things will get accomplished. By the way, that's true. Man can get a lot accomplished with his own strength, but he cannot be pleasing to God, nor can he get right with God by doing it his own self. Notice as we go through Cain's lineage, and let's learn some about these people who show up. Notice, if you don't mind, let's learn. So Cain has a son. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we pick the story up in verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So notice, the presence of God is over there, and he has to leave the presence of God. Why? A man living by his own strength and his own will cannot be pleasing to God and cannot have the presence of God. As long as you try to do it yourself, as long as you are self-dependent, you cannot be in the presence of God. The Bible's very clear in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. What is faith? Putting our dependence and trust on God. If you do not put your faith and trust in God, you cannot be pleasing to God, period. You're like, that's mean. No, this is Bible. Cain and his old lineage tried to live in their own strength, their own power, and they got lots of things accomplished. We're going to see that. But they could not be pleasing to God. They could not be in his presence, nor could they have spiritual life because they tried to do it himself. Notice as we go on, verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. So we have the first, as we go to the descendants, we have Enoch here. Well, Enoch's going to have a son, notice if you don't mind, and bare Enoch, and he built a city after his name of his son, Enoch. So Cain said, listen, I'm going to have a boy, I'm going to build a city. They're going to form what we call, in technical terms, the first civilization. So notice, Cain, in his own strength and his own dependence, builds the first civilization, the first society of common goals, values, and cultures. By the way, what was their culture? It wasn't to please God. Their culture was what we could do in our own strength and our own power and our own will. And man, by the way, in his own strength and his own power can get a lot accomplished. Notice as we go on. Verse number 18. And unto Enoch was born Irad. So we come to Irad. Irad's name means fugitive, city of witness. It shows his unregenerate nature, hinting that he lived without a rebel, without restraint. So he was pictured as Cain had a son. He said, I'm going to name my kid Rebel, fugitive. He's going to be someone who lives under his own rules. No one's going to tell my kid what to do. I'm going to teach him to live by his own strength, his own way. He trained a rebel. And by the way, this whole Cain's lineage is all teaching people how what man can do in his own strength and his own power. You don't need anyone to tell you what to do. You be your own man. You be a fugitive. You don't let anyone restrain you. Well, Irad had a son by the name of Mahalia. His name means smitten of God or blot that Yah is God. So by his generation, people were becoming hostile towards God, rejecting his authority and whatnot to do with it. His name meant, I don't need God. So here's a line that has been raised, you live your own life. You could do it in your own power. You don't need God. Now they have a kid who's actually said, I don't need God in my life. I don't need God to tell me what to do. I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need a preacher. I can live my own life however I want. Here's a whole line that says, I don't need God. Well, Mahalia is going to have a son, and Mahalia meant Methuselah. Methuselah. Now, this meaning means the man who is of God, but it's a name that has a dual implication. It's either as a lament for those who once belonged to God but turned away, which is a reminder to those who followed Cain's ways, who died asking questions without faith and without hope. The man who's of God, or he was of God. So here's a man who, as lineage went on, people are like, this world's starting to fall apart. Things are starting to go. We don't longer have God's blessing. Why? Because here is a lineage of people who tried to live without God, tried to live it in their own strength, their own power. No one's going to tell me what to do. Then we come to a big guy. And Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. And the name of one was Adah, and the other was Zillah. And Adah bet Jabel, and we're getting to this. But here's Lamech. Lamech's name means powerful or conqueror or wild man. Those kind of indications. Powerful, conqueror, wild man. He's representing lawlessness and a new standard of rebellion. So here's someone whose name means, I'm powerful enough as I am. I could conquer anything. I could do whatever I want. No one's going to tell me what to do. And to prove it, he's the first polygamist in the Bible. God had already created the pattern of Adam and Eve. One man for one woman for all life. Here's a man that says, I don't need God's rules. I don't need God's standard of love. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to marry two women just to show no one's going to tell me what to do. Again, we have a whole lineage of people who said, I could live however I want. I don't need God to tell me what to do. I don't need someone to tell me to be the boss of me. I'm powerful enough on my own. I don't need God's laws. Now, his wife's names are interesting. Adah means ornamental, meaning she's pretty to look at. She's my trophy wife. Everyone look, see how great she is. Then you got Zillah, who means seductress. And what happens is you're seeing a society that's drifting towards superfluity and sensuality. We don't care what the inside is. As long as you're good on the outside, that's what we're looking for. The outward appearance. Because that's part of how man gets ahead. Is someone looking good? We all know people who look so pretty that they don't have to work a day in their life. Yeah. Just bat an eye, smile at someone, and someone will take care of them. This is a society that's bringing up. They don't care. It's now your looks, you're powerful, and your money. One of those things are going to carry you far with your own strength. You may not be powerful, but if you've got the looks, you could go ahead. You may not be powerful and you might not have the looks, but as long as you have money, you could get ahead. Look at what we could do in our own strength and our own power. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. Notice, if you don't mind, as we go on, we could see Lamech's sons who are now advancing civilization in several different ways. Notice the first son, Jabal. Verse number 20. And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father, that means he was the one who started, was the ancestor of such as dwell in tents and such as has cattle. He was the father of those. His name means producer, and he kind of invented the nomadic lifestyle centered on the acquisition of possessions. From this point on, how wealthy you are was based off of how many cattle you had, how many goats you had, how many sheep you had. And he built that civilization that it was all about possessions. After that, we have another son that's born by the name of Jubal. Notice with me, if you don't mind, verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father, the ancestor, the person who started this, of all that such handle the harp and the organ. His name means joyful sound, and he specialized in music. He developed string and wind instruments. So as civilization grew, so did the entertainment industry, with Jubal at the forefront providing distraction and pleasure, but not for the glory of God. You see, man can get a lot accomplished in his own power. And you're watching Cain's line that they, yes, they're advancing civilization, but civilization is getting further and further away from God because of the pursuit of possessions and because of the pursuit of entertainment. We could do it ourselves. We are strong enough. We don't need anyone to tell us what to do. But there's a third son. Notice this. Verse number 22. In Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So here, Tubal-Cain was the master of metallurgy. discovering the art of melting and forging metals. His skills, though, were advanced, were kept within the family. They didn't share this technique. They were the only family for a long time who knew how to do this. Now, if you're the only one who knows how to make metals and weapons, you're pretty powerful, aren't you? So again, these are people that advanced civilization, but they did it in their own strength, their own power. I don't need God. I don't need someone to tell us what to do. I'm my own man. I don't need this. And yes, man can get a lot accomplished, but he cannot get closer to God. He cannot get right with God by his own force of will. Here is a whole line of Cain who says, I could do it myself. I'm strong enough. I don't need anyone. I definitely don't need God. I don't need his rules. I don't need him telling me what to do. I can do it myself. As we go back to Lamech, notice his speech in verse number 23. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken to my speech, for I've slain a man to my wounding and a young man to his hurt. Notice this. He says, I killed two people and no one's going to do anything about it. Why? I'm too powerful. I'm too strong. I'm so amazing. I can go around and kill whoever I want and no one can do anything about it. Man, by his own will, can get a lot of things done. But he cannot get right with God. And he cannot get closer with God. And we could see that the more that man tries to do things by himself, yes, he could advance things, but he gets further and further away from God. And here he's bragging to his wives, I killed two people, and they can't do anything about it. I'm so powerful. I'm so strong. I'm my own man. This is clearly an awful time. Notice he continues to brag, verse 24. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. God had made a promise that anyone who killed Cain would be handed back sevenfold. Lamech said, if anyone dared to try to punish me for my crimes, I would get them back 70 times 10, 70-fold. There's no way they could get back at me. I would rain down fire if anyone ever tried. That's pretty bad. Here's somebody who's gotten far by his own strength, but it's only far in human speaking. Man by himself can get a lot accomplished, but he cannot get close to God. He cannot be forgiven. And he gets further away from God the more that he depends upon himself. So here's a time where people are living their own life. I don't need God. Don't tell me about God. I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need God's rules. I don't need God's standards. I don't need authority. I don't need parents to tell me what to do. I don't need anyone. It's a line that's confident in their own abilities. You're like, well, I'm not that brash. Yeah. But how self-dependent are you really? I don't need to read the Bible. That's boring. I don't need to listen to the preacher. I could live life by my own. I don't need this stuff. You're just wasting my time. You may think that from time to time. You may think that you've got things all handled. But you cannot get closer to God. You cannot be forgiven of God by doing things your own way. You can get some things done without a doubt. But you can never get done what God can get done. And you can never be right with him nor forgiven. That's why it's so amazing as we then turn to the line of Seth. So we have the ungodly line of Cain, whose whole lineage is saying, we could do things myself. I don't need God. I could do it myself. I'm powerful enough. But then we come, verse number 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and they called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. So now we have Seth, and his name means appointed or to put into place. And God chose to use Seth to carry on the godly line, a line that would be used later on to carry out God's promise of a redeemer, but a line that was supposed to be the example of a group of people who were able to depend and trust on God. We'll get to that a little bit later, but let's look at this lineage here. Now, just like all of the rest of Adam's descendants, Seth was born with a sin nature. So we're not talking about people who are perfect. In fact, because they were not perfect, these are people that had to depend, trust on God. Walk through this lineage with me as we hit chapter 5. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 26. And to Seth also there was born a son, and his name was Enos. Enos. And so we have Enos, whose name meant mortal. As we go to chapter 5, and this is the book of generation of Adam. Adam, by the way, if you didn't know, meant man. We had Seth, that means appointed. So this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day that he was created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Seth meant appointed. In the days of Adam, he would begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Enos' names meant mortal. Again, understanding that I'm just a mortal, I need God, I can't do this myself. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Canaan's name meant sorrow. Which again, life is full of sorrows. Canaan meant sorrow. And Canaan, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahaliel. Mahaliel, that's a fun way to say Mahaliel, LL, means the blessed God. The blessed God. And Canaan lived, after he begat Mahaliel, 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahaliel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. Jared's name means come down. Come down. Again, carrying the idea, I need to trust in God. I need him to come down. Come down. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on. And Mahaliel lived, after he begat Jared, 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahaliel were 895 days, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Enoch means to teach. So Enoch's name means to teach. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. Methuselah's meant, it's a longer name, his death shall bring. His death shall bring. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on. And Enoch lived 62 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch was a man who didn't die. They were walking together, and God said, well, you're closer to my house than your house, so why don't you come home with me? And Enoch never died. He was a picture of the rapture of God pulling someone out before they died. Notice, if you don't mind, verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Lamech's name meant despair. Lamech's name meant despair. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called the name of his son Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil and hands, because of the ground which God hath cursed." And Noah's name meant comfort. Now, interesting enough, when you put all these names combined, they tell a story. Starting at Adam, which meant man, putting the names together, it says, man is appointed to live in mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down and teach, and his death shall bring despair into comfort and peace. We have a picture of Christ inside of the names of God, or these names here, telling that we live in a horrible world, but God is going to come down and his death is going to change despair into comfort and peace. Again, we have a lineage here where people had to put their trust and dependence on God, realizing that they could not do it. No wonder later on that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because he came from a lineage where they were taught to trust in God. Which brings us to the main point. Go back with me in chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, notice this idea of calling upon the name of God. Notice with me chapter 4 and verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then, so now we have a time frame, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now we usually use this for salvation, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have this idea of calling upon the name of the Lord. What does it mean to call upon God's name? Well, remember, when we talk about the names of God, we're talking about God's attributes and his characteristics. We're talking about who God is. When you call upon his name, you are putting your dependence and hope on God. You're putting your trust in him. Instead of trusting yourself, you're realizing, I can't do it. I need God. So here is Seth. He has a son by the name of Enos, and he realizes, we have to trust in God. And he began to teach his son, and his son, you need to depend on God. You need to trust in God. Don't look over there at Cain's side. Look, that's what happens when you try to do it yourself. You can get a lot of things accomplished, but look at how far away they are. Look at the life over there of Seth's great-grandson. Look at how he's so power-hungry. Look at his three kids. They're advancing civilization. Everyone's saying they're so great for the human race. But they're so far away because they're trying to depend on themselves. They're trusting their own power. They're trusting their own strength. And again, man can get a lot of things accomplished by his own will, but he cannot have peace with God. And he cannot be right with God. And he cannot have the presence of God. And by the way, God can do things through us bigger and better than we could ever dream of doing it ourselves. The idea of calling upon God's name is throwing our dependence on God. I need Jesus. We call upon God's name for salvation. Lord, I cannot save myself. I recognize that I'm a sinner. And because of my sin, I've offended you, God. And that I deserve to go to hell. And there's nothing I can do to free me from that. But you love me enough that you died on the cross for me. And I am now asking, putting my dependence, my trust, I am faithing you to do what I cannot do myself, to forgive me of my sins. Therefore, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you put your trust and dependence. By the way, the calling upon God's name isn't just saying a prayer. It's putting your faith and dependence on God. A prayer doesn't save you. That's doing it yourself. Jesus saves you. I cannot save myself. I cannot forgive my sins. You are my only hope, and I'm putting my dependence upon you. We need to call upon God's name to do his work. We cannot do God's work. Only God can do his work. Lord, I'm calling upon your name. I'm putting my dependence on you. I cannot do this myself. By the way, raising children. You know, people can raise kids with their own strength of will. And they're going to struggle and they're going to suffer. And they're going to raise rebellious people. But to be able to say, God, I cannot do this. This is too big for me. I need your help. I need your grace. And to call upon his name and say, Lord, I need you now. I need to trust you. Help me. Calling upon God's name is for us to put our faith, our trust, our dependence on a God recognizing I cannot do it. Lord, I shouldn't even try to do it. The problem is that we're so proud creatures, we attempt to do things in our own strength all the time. We attempt to go to work in our own strength. We attempt to deal with people in our own strength. We attempt to do great things in our own strength. We attempt to do God's work in our own strength. And every time we do that, we can get some things accomplished, but we'll never get what God can accomplish. And we'll never do it in a way that would be pleasing and blessing to him because we cannot. The Bible is very clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you know that you can get people to come to a church meeting? Anyone could build a crowd. Only God could build a church. I knew a church that offered $25 every time a person showed up to church. When you show up to church for $25? Yeah. When they had big days, they'd give everyone $100 who showed up to church. I mean, anyone could build a crowd. That's doing it in their own strength. What happens when the money runs out? How many of those people are going to stay? You see, man's strength has to keep it then, and that's impossible. Today, people try to build churches off of entertainment. But they try to do it in their own strength. And it won't be pleasing to God. It won't work. Only God can do that. We have to trust God. We are so proud creatures. We attempt to do things all by ourselves all the time. And we're trained to do that. That's what Cain's line did. They taught their family, you trust in yourself. You depend on yourself. You wish upon a star. You work hard. You can get things accomplished. You do it. And they did do it. And they got a lot of things accomplished. But it wasn't to the betterment of people. The example of not trusting in God hurt more people than it helped. We learn a lesson here. We have to be very conscious of calling upon God's name. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every day I need thee. We need to be needy people. We need to be people that recognizes I cannot and stop trying to do it in our own strength. Yes, sir. It was then people begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Why do they call upon the name of the Lord? Not just for salvation, but because they already saw what can happen when people try to do things in their own strength and their own power. And they realized, we can't do this. We have to call upon God's name and put our dependence on him for every little step. Now, this sounds good in a church and it's easy to amen. Until you look at your own life and realize, man, today I trust it. I didn't talk to God once. I did this whole day in my own strength. And I got some things accomplished. But when I look at it, was it pleasing to God? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You could bring people to church and the way you did it wasn't pleasing to God. You could read your Bible, but you did it in your own strength. And it wasn't pleasing. You could teach a Sunday school class in your own strength. And it wasn't pleasing. You're like, well, then how come someone got saved? Hey, the gospel and God's word has enough power. And God wants people saved. He'll use us in spite of ourselves and not because of ourselves. But what could be accomplished if God's power was in it? If God's ability was in it? We need to be a people that's finally just sick and tired of doing things in our own strength and want to see what will happen if God does it instead of us. Amen. That we're just instruments ready for God to use, but we need to stop living our lives. We need to take this. Then there's that time frame. Because of this thing's going on, it brought us to a decision. Then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord, to put our faith and dependence on Him instead of trying to do it in our own strength. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, we come to you as needy people, bankrupt people, empty people. We don't have enough energy, enough strength, and we keep trying to do it over and over. We keep running on empty and still trying to go another step in our own power. You are very clear that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. There's so many times because we're doing it in our own strength, we feel like we're going nowhere. Even when we put more effort into it, you just resist us and hold us in place. It's not until we surrender and say, God, I need you. Help me through this, that you go behind us and give us grace to do what we could not do ourselves and to see things accomplished that we could have never done by ourselves. Help us, Lord, to learn this dependence upon you and to learn this principle of calling upon your name every moment, every day, every activity, everything. Lord, I cannot do this. I need your help. I cannot do this. I need your help. Help us, Lord, to learn to be dependent people upon you instead of prideful and arrogant and thinking we could do things ourselves and that we don't need you and we'll just set you aside and just call upon you upon emergencies. Heaven forbid, Lord, those times that we're so arrogant that we could think we could live this life on our own. Strengthen us up even now because of the preaching of your word. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.